Hey, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host today, Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It's Friday, January 18th, 2019. Are you still there, Dave? Did you fall over or what?
TGIF Melody. Fallen over from so much news in the world. Jeez.
Well, I'll tell you, it just gets crazier and crazier, and you know, no wonder people really don't know what's going on. But anyway, I had a beautiful call today from a very lovely woman who called and thanked us for bringing the news and the truth, and it was a very pleasant call. It just, you know, sometimes these calls. And I really do believe sometimes you just need that boost, and these calls will just come out of nowhere, and they'll say the things that you just needed to hear to just go, to know that you're making a difference, that we're just not sitting here talking to one another, that we're just, you know, that we, you know, that there are people out there who do appreciate us, and I want to thank you all. The listeners that, again, you guys make it possible. I mean, I don't get funding from anywhere. The funding comes from you when you buy gold and silver from Discount Gold and Silver. That is all made possible by you. So I thank you. And again, I it just kind of made my day. So you folks are so important, and so that's why we try to help you figure out how to be safe through all the challenges that we face in today's world. And boy, oh boy, do we have challenges. Maybe not as many challenges as gold pricing has, but you know, because again, you know, with some news that we're going to talk about, that China, hey, all of a sudden they're our best buddy, and they're going to give us trillions of dollars. I just have to laugh to fight our deficit with them. But we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But gold today was down $11 on this news. The stock market went up 300-plus points and came back a little bit. But so gold today was down 11 points at 1,281. Silver was down 20 cents at $15.41. Platinum was down 13 at 801. And palladium was down 19 at 1,383. The USDX today is up 29 at 96.38. Crude oil was up 1.67 at 53.74. And the paper markets today, let's see here. The paper markets today, where are my paper markets? The Dow, 330. Well, I guess it came down and went back up. Up 336 points, 24,706. The NASDAQ up 72 points at 71.57. The S&P was up 35 points at 2,607. 10-year yield, though, that's beginning to pop back up. 2.78, up 0.04. European markets and Asia markets were strong overnight. Fear and greed index, hey, we're neutral right now, so there isn't anything to be concerned about in the world that we live today, because hey, China's going to bail us out with $1 trillion. I don't know, that's how I look at it. And you know, kudos for trying to fix our deficit problems, but so China, the big news today, offered a 6-year boost, Dave, in imports during the talks with the U.S. And this is the offer, I guess, the Chinese officials made during their negotiations that was in Beijing earlier this month. And they said they would apparently increase its annual imports of U.S. goods by a combined value of over $1 trillion. China pegged its proposal to buy more U.S. goods through 2024. We know that we've had a trade deficit of $323 billion with China in 2018. So this deal would aim to reduce that annual trade deficit to zero by 2024. How does that happen? It's not, if they reduce, well, we'll just continue. So that's when the stocks took off today. And, you know, we heard a little bit about officials that were debating whether they were going to lift some of these tariffs on these Chinese imports just as a way to, you know, give them a little more of an incentive. But what concerns me, Dave, is making deals. When you have this one side of a deal to the tune of basically it would be $1 trillion plus, what did we give away in order for them to make that commitment? Taiwan? Or, you know, other things? I don't know. It's just a question.
I guess we'll know a little bit down the road. You know, that's a good question. You know, you take it at face value, you know, there's the quid pro quo. You know, they're increasing imports of U.S. goods by $1 trillion in exchange for some relief, immediate relief in tariffs. The 10% tariffs that are scheduled to go up to 25% on March 1st. You know, the idea of lifting some or all of the tariffs was apparently proposed by our Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin. They say the aim is to advance the trade talks and win China support for the longer-term reforms. You know, the intellectual and other issues that you know, U.S. corporations and multinational corporations have, you know, long derided China for. But Mnuchin apparently faces resistance from our own trade rep, Robert Lighthizer, who's concerned that any concession right now could be seen as a sign of weakness. You know, it's akin to the shutdown. You know, one side gives in even the slightest, and it's a sign of weakness. The debate's occurring as, you know, trade officials try and figure out the best way to pry any concessions from China. Now, it hasn't reached Trump yet, and the outcome of the discussions, you know, are just too complex to forecast. But, you know, they have till March 1st, you know, 12:01 a.m. the following day, tariffs on $200 billion of Chinese goods are scheduled to jump from 10 to 25%. And that could certainly batter U.S. importers and, you know, further harm an already weakening Chinese economy. You know, we'll see what happens in this battle between Mnuchin and Lighthizer, and more so, I guess, how China follows through on this apparent $1 trillion offer.
Well, you know, the timing is everything, and, you know, taking it to 2024, I mean, that is certainly the reelection, you know, part to me, I think, is, well, gee, that would be the end if Trump was reelected in 2020. That would be the end of his second term. It's funny that that's how long this takes us out to get to zero, and, you know, so I don't know how much of this is, you know, how much of this is real, how much it isn't real, but what is Beijing given in order to make this type of an offer? And just earlier this week, Dave, we heard about, you know, they just weren't giving up on any of the intellectual properties. You know, they couldn't get it. They couldn't beat that door down at all. So now, and I guess we get bits of this and bits of that, and we're not sure, you know, how much of it is, you know, we really don't know, you know, the devil's in the details, you know, and it never seems that we get the details. So, you know, as we go along the way, we just kind of have to, you know, gather this information, that information, try to, you know, come up. But there's got to be a little bit of truth in everything.
Well, here's the thing. There's no deal. So, you know, we're not going to know any details until there's actually a commitment to putting a so-called deal to paper. And so, you know, in the meantime, we're left to, you know, talk about ideas like this that are, in my mind, purposely thrown out to,
boost the market.
boost the market and gain, some feedback from lawmakers and constituencies that each side serves. The good news is, I guess, is that the two sides are still talking.
Yes, that is good news.
And, next week, they're scheduled to meet face-to-face. Their folks and Lighthizer and Mnuchin. So
in D.C., right? They're going to D.C.?
Yeah. That's what we've read. D.C. it is.
All right. Well, I talk about the fear and greed index, and it seems to be getting stronger, which means you'd think that the consumer sentiment is getting stronger, but that doesn't seem to be the case.
No, in fact, consumer sentiment, Melody, dropped to its lowest level since before the 2016 presidential election, of course, amid growing concerns over the U.S. economy and slowing growth in particular. The University of Michigan Consumer Sentiment Index fell to 90.7 this month. That's its lowest since October 2016, down from 98.3 in December. Now, economists that were polled, as they are every month, expected the index to fall to just 96.4. Now, the loss is being attributed to a host of issues, including the partial government shutdown, which I suspect is having had the largest impact on its fall below expectations. The impact of the tariffs we just talked about, instabilities in financial markets, the global slowdown, and the lack of clarity about global monetary policies. Aside from the direct economic impact from these issues on the economy, the indirect effect meant that half of all consumers believed that these events would have a negative impact on our president's ability to focus on economic growth. Now, the survey also showed that the year-ahead economic outlook was the worst since mid-2014. Melody.
Well, consumers could lose a little more faith in the economy over the shutdown. And if this drags on until February, March, then growth rates are going to fall to a place where unemployment is going to start to rise. And, and that's fodder for a recession. These comments were, they come from Mark Zandi of Moody's Analytics. And, he says the economy is looking wobbly, heading into the new year, even before the start of the partial government shutdown, the longest on record. It's hard to believe that it's been 28. That has been as long as it has, but it doesn't seem like 28 days.
Life's, things move fast when you're working without a paycheck, Melody.
I guess, but it just doesn't, it just doesn't seem that it's been 28 days.
I know.
But anyway, so, it's going to have an impact on our growth, if this continues. So, we'll see. I mean, we don't know when it's going to end, but I figure, again, it's going to end sometime the 1st of February. So,
yeah, it's, Zandi saying, if it goes on to the end of the quarter, it could be a drag of as much as 0.5% on GDP. The White House, Kevin Hastert, the Council of Economic Advisors, said that the administration sees GDP slowing about 0.1% each week the shutdown continues. So it's having an impact beyond the 800,000, well, now less than 800,000 federal government workers who have been furloughed, in addition to the services and the people that some of those agencies serve. Melody.
Well, there's, in addition to the economy and everything, it seems like the U.S. manufacturing, that has increased. In another report today, it shows that the U.S. manufacturing output increased by the most in 10 months in December. The Fed said this morning that manufacturing jumped 1.1% production last month, and this is the biggest gain since February. So economists polled by Reuters had forecast manufacturing output rising 0.3% in December. So, again, just another report that doesn't make sense. And isn't it interesting? Well, this is coming from the Fed, and the Fed's not shut down because we had so many reports that couldn't be released earlier in the week because the government shut down. Or was that last week? To this week, and but this one comes out. We really don't have any details to back this up, but you know, I'm just saying.
Well, the thing
not
is
to question everything, but I'm just saying.
Well, manufacturing activity accounts for just 12% of the
That's
economy.
True.
That you know that
it's
that
sad.
Be...
It's sad, but
yeah, I know. How about it? You know, slowing as, you know, some of the boost capital spending from last year's $1.5 trillion tax cut, you know, that the effect of that is now fading, you know, plus the strong dollar, slowing growth in Europe and China, that's hurting exports. Lower oil prices also slowing down the purchases of equipment for oil and gas well drilling. So, you know, it's a mixed bag. With this this latest report from the Fed.
And before we get into our break, real quick, we have, you know, the U.S. crude output is on track to reaffirm its status as the number one producer. The IEA report comes shortly after OPEC and non-OPEC producers officially implemented a fresh round of supply cuts. The IEA said that by the middle of the year, U.S. crude output will probably be more than the capacity of either Saudi Arabia or Russia. You would think our gasoline prices would be 25 cents once again, but hey. So we've seen Brent crude. It has fallen almost 30% since climbing to the peak in early October last year. We have lots more to talk about, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back right after this short break.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Yeah, up and you're listening to Financial Survival. I just like that one part right there. And thank you for joining us. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. I do have a package here. It's an odd package, so, and I only have one. Now, I can create the same package, but I can't give you these prices. You're getting almost a 15% savings, okay? But I'm just cleaning out some of my inventory. It includes one Gold Eagle, 49 one-ounce Silver Eagles, 3 1/4-ounce American Gold Eagles. I have 8 BU Swiss Francs. I have 8 Peace Dollars. And $25, 90% silver, 25 face value. The normal package on this would be $5,358. This is being sold for $4,952. So quite a savings there, ladies and gentlemen, on a package. So you're looking at tremendous savings. You get a little bit of everything: a 1 ounce Gold Eagle, 49 Silver Eagles, 3 1/10-ounce, 8 BU Swiss Francs, some Peace Dollars, and $25. So it's a great little package, and that also includes your shipping costs. So give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. And remember, I just have that one package, and I don't want to piecemeal everything. I just want to send it all together. So that's $4,952.
Quite a bargain there, Melody.
It really is. And so, again, I was just going through some inventories, put this little package together. I mean, you got everything. A 1 ounce, you got fractional, you got some foreign gold in there, you got some Peace Dollars. And the Peace Dollars are circulated. They're not the prettiest. The 50-cent pieces are also in the 25. I think there's some quarters in that $25 face value also. So you have a mixture of 50-cent pieces and quarters. So give us a call, and 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I'm not going to say how many more, but I just don't know anymore, Dave. I do this thing about building the wall, and everything is just, you know, it's becoming its own little beast. We all want border security. We all want to stop the flow of illegal immigration and everything else that comes with it. And but now there is the president's team today launched a new website called Build the Border Wall, which calls for his supporters to donate money in exchange for sending a fake brick to the offices of Pelosi and Schumer. The website says this was Trump's very own brilliant idea. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. This is actually a report from The Week. And it says this is to make sure that they have that Chuck and Nancy have no choice but to listen to the American people. And for $20.20, the Trump campaign says they will send a faux brick to Pelosi and Schumer's offices with facts about the need for border security and an appeal to text wall to 88022. The campaign manager, Trump's 2020 campaign manager, which I believe is his daughter-in-law, is one of the campaign managers, told at the Wall Street Journal about the idea just minutes before the fundraising call went out. Donated 2020 will send a single foam brick, where there are options to send as many as 7 bricks for 140. And yes, supporters can choose whether the brick goes to who it goes to. The journal reports that Trump has been receiving various varying advice from aides, with some urging him to make a deal for less than the 5.7. And so I did go to the website. It does talk about building the wall. It does show individual donations, corporate donations, donations to the wall, board and immigration. It doesn't really say, it says Build the Wall PAC, so that would be a campaign donation, correct, Dave? If it specifically says PAC, if you're there, Dave.
Melody, I'm sorry. 75% of each contribution looks to be designated for the re-election campaign.
Okay. So, you know, if you think all your money is going to build the wall, it's not. It's going to the campaign. If you're a supporter and want him to win and you want those funds, just be understanding of exactly where the funds are going to. So, gimmick, ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world of gimmicks, just like $1 trillion for China giving us, so we can zero our deficits by 2024. Anyway, State Street Bank said this morning that the custody bank will shed about 1,500 employees and new cost-cutting plan designed to help weather tough market conditions. The bank, it provides bookkeeping and other back-office services to nearly 90% of the world's biggest asset managers, and they're going to eliminate positions in higher-cost offices like Boston, New York, London. They're automating. It's part of the reason. So the cut is going to include the 100 or so senior management jobs that State Street said last month it would cut. And while they have made some progress on the technology transformation, much remains to be done, and they're not satisfied with their recent performance. So that's interesting that they're eliminating, that they control or they handle the bookkeeping for all of these big asset managers. And it's technology that's laying off people.
Another part of that broken promise, you know, 30 years ago, that technology would make life easier. It would not result in, you know, the reduction or elimination of a workforce that has turned out to be perhaps the biggest lie that American workers, have been victims of as the 21st century began. And now, as we're well into the second decade of the new millennium, we're faced with AI and the prospect of robots eliminating more of our jobs. So we've got to stay and pay attention, ladies and gentlemen. It's it's not all that it appears, and certainly not all that we're being told. In fact, it's contra to what we're being told by our government and our big corporations.
And you know what, Dave? They talk about. And we're going to talk about Nissan cutting some workers. They talk about, and it's been on all the news programs. I think 60 Minutes did a deal on the 40% number that was released, where 40% of the world's jobs are going to be eliminated due to technology and so forth. This is, you know, the big discussion everywhere on mainstream media. Question.
What?
They're not going to be, or statement, they're not going to be eliminating many jobs in India due to technology and so forth, because they don't have to, because these people don't get paid enough to eliminate those jobs. The biggest impacts are going to be in places where, like here in the United States.
Yep, already. Developed countries.
Exactly. That's where the biggest impacts are going to be. It's not going to be all of these, third world countries and so forth. They're moving up. I mean, we read earlier this week where the United States is going to fall from the number one position, the strongest economy, down to number three. India is going to overtake us. So it's us that will be impacted the most. That 40% is going to hit here the hardest. So, and they'll say around the world, but as Dave said, it's the developing world, which is the United States. Nissan says they're cutting up 700 contract workers at its Mississippi assembly plant, citing slow sales for Titan pickup trucks and vans. They do employ about 6,400 employees and contractors in Canton, Mississippi. Now, this move follows the announcement in December that Nissan was going to cut 1,000 jobs at two Mexican factories. Reports in May indicated the Japanese automaker would cut production by up to 20% in North America, citing low profits. And this was my thought. I wonder how much of this impact comes from the after the arrest of the former chairman of Nissan, who led a production expansion in Nissan's largest market. So I don't know if that would have anything to do with that or not, Dave. But
well, the timing's certainly interesting. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, not surprisingly, Nissan spokesperson says these cuts are unrelated to Carlo Ghosn's troubles. You know, they say the jobs will be cut by attrition, you know, at Nissan's engine factory in Tennessee. But that doesn't affect other factories in that state. But bottom line, they're saying not related to the arrest of their former chair.
The earlier in the week, also, boy, news changes so much. Earlier in the week, we talked about how Trump had picked the delegation to go to Davos with Wilbur Ross. And now he had canceled his trip previously. He wasn't going to go along with the government shutdown. Then just this week, they appointed, I guess there was four or five that were heading in this delegation. Today, that trip has been canceled. So the U.S. delegation's trip to the economic summit in Davos has been canceled.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. I mean, Theresa May, Emmanuel Macron, they've canceled the plans for them to go as well. So a couple of major no-shows at this year's World Economic Forum, Melody. What will the rest of the world do?
I don't know. Those multinational corporations are just going to have to deal on their own.
Still plenty of elites to cavort with one another.
Yes, absolutely. So, but certainly Theresa May has her problems. And of course, France is ready to come undone. So he's busy. And of course, with our government shut down. So, they're all history. They're not going to, which, it just irritated me to have governments there to begin with, particularly ours. So I don't care about anybody else's government, but I didn't like when President Trump went last time. I didn't like when any other president went. I just don't believe that, I'm not a fan in deals. But anyway, trade wars. One more trade thing, the 11-country trade deal, once known as the Trans-Pacific Partnership, has started to come into force. That's giving U.S. farmers, Australian competitors, an increasingly valuable leg up in Japan. This is the U.S.'s most lucrative export market for beef. Thanks to the U.S. withdrawal from TPP, American ranchers won't get any of the benefits of the reduced tariffs for beef and other farm products that U.S. negotiators years spent haggling over with Japan. So there's plenty of corporate angst is followed on tariffs and the president China battles, but the rest of the world appears to have decided, which is, just part of the globalization deal. So, we'll see. To pull from these trade agreements, which I think many of us, didn't want to be a part of, that they do provide some good, but with not having them, it also provides some bad. And this is the thing that we always forget. We always think that things are just going to go on like is. But no, there's impacts. And there will be pain that will be felt by many a people, many a business, many a farmer across this country. So, which comes down to your food, which comes down. So it all filters. That stuff trickles down, Dave. And it's just the money doesn't trickle down. But when there's, so there's a lot of pain to be felt.
Yeah, enough pain to go around too. But, 2 weeks, February 1st, even bigger deal between the EU and Japan is going to take effect. I mean, that deal gives car makers on both sides preferential access to each other's markets. you know, as well as the same access to European beef for Japan that was included in the TPP. You know, now that follows another EU deal with Canada already in place and comes alongside talks the EU has held with Australia, Mexico, New Zealand, and one of Latin America's biggest trading blocs. You know, it's not just the EU either. I mean, China, not surprisingly, is pursuing its own trade agreement that includes Southeastern Asian economies, India, and U.S. allies, Australia, Japan, and South Korea. And Africa economies are hammering out a new trade pact that would cover the entire continent. So, you know, there is a lot to be gained, apparently, by, you know, being part of this, and a lot to lose by not be. I mean, the bottom line here is that trade wars apparently are leaving the U.S. playing catch-up with the EU, with Japan, with China, and other economic powers that are moving ahead with trade deals that benefit their companies and their farmers.
And you know what, the TPP, I was not a fan of it because there was a lot of the legalities in there that just, you know. But what I did understand when we pulled out, I believed we should have been in there changing what wasn't good for the United States. We didn't have to pull out 100%, but we could have gone in there and said, hey, we're going to put this on hold. If you know, we're in there, we need to review this. This is a new administration. Let's look at this agreement in different eyes, and let's see where we need to tweak it so the United States benefits more than it gave away with the NAFTA and all the other agreements. So that, to me, that's what should have been done. But there was a lot of, we were giving up a lot of our laws. We're moving internationally, and you know, I'm you know, again, I'm not that expert, but there were some concerns. But that's what the new administration should have done. 7 months after the first UN North Korea meeting, Pyongyang has done little to eliminate their nuclear arsenal. North Korea's top envoy, Kim Yong-choi, is going to join us right after this short break. We'll talk more about him. He's not going to be here, but we'll talk about him when we come back from this short break. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Yeah, back to Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. Get your pocketbooks out. I have this little box package of miscellaneous product that's going through my inventory. $4,952, and you'll receive a 1 ounce American Gold Eagle, 49 Silver Eagles, and it's all nice product. Three 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagles, 8 BU Swiss francs. Now, the circulated peace dollars are circulated. You get 8 of those and a $25, 90% silver, quarters and half dollars. Includes shipping, $4,952. If you purchase this at all the regular price, it'd be $5,358. So when you're talking about small markups in product, that's a significant savings, ladies and gentlemen. So give us, one of you out there, call me at 800-375-4188. Well, we were talking about North Korea and a summit and a nuking. And North Korea's top envoy, Kim Jong-choi, or Chol, is currently in Washington to discuss the perspective of a second summit between President Trump and Kim Jong-un. And that could take place just as early as March or April. Now, this is to be more of a face-to-face talks, certainly a positive development. Any regular dialogue helps contain the conflict on the Korean Peninsula, but it hasn't been enough to push the North on the denuclearization, and it's not expected to push them into the denuclearization. Trump and Kim may simply be looking to keep communication lines open to avoid the same type of saber rattling that sort of defined their relationship back in 2017, but they could both offer some or enough flexibility and concessions to reinvigorate an engagement process. But I also do believe that King and Kim and his wife just came back from China also. So they had quite a visit.
Yeah, it's a second honeymoon of sorts. Now, I'm just reading, we'll call it DGS breaking news, Melody, that report coming out of the White House that the North and the U.S. will meet actually in February now, moved up from March to April. That was being talked about as early as this morning. So that's an interesting development.
So it's February?
Well, that's a report unconfirmed coming out of the White House today.
Probably February 7th.
Michael Cohen's testimony. Interesting. Yeah, that that could be an interesting timing. Trump and Kim, you know, are in many ways content with the status quo, some analysts are arguing. Kim's no longer worried about an imminent U.S. military strike. You know, he's been able to make inroads in his global public relations campaign. Again, as Melody just said, coming back from a trip to China, meeting with the South Korean leader. And President Trump has, you know, claimed the historic win in stabilizing the North. You know, the North hasn't tested any missiles since late 2017.
That's a good thing.
Although it hasn't dismantled all of its nuclear sites and facilities just yet. You know, it's slow progress. And, you know, that could be due to the fact that we haven't set a hard deadline for denuclearization, although many Far East analysts are saying that now Kim is wedded to being a nuclear power.
Yes.
Among the big boys and girls.
That's what I was just thinking.
Yeah, and that it's unlikely that he's going to be willing to give up all of his nukes.
Well, I think what he's doing is he's building those relationships with South Korea, with China, and just as you said, he's showing that he can be a responsible leader. And, you know, he has them, and, you know, he can still maintain his cool, I guess. He got the attention that he wanted. And so it's really interesting to see how all that is going to play out.
Indeed.
And I, you know, we just real briefly before we move on to another topic, to the Greek prime minister, we talked about Michael Cohen, you know, being in Congress, being, you know, drilled by Congress. I believe he's going to testify February 7th. They said that I saw an article where he supposedly had shoulder surgery, and he has a black eye and an arm in a sling. And obviously he had you could see the hospital in the picture, you could see his hospital ID band and everything. But what's interesting is if you really look close up, now if it's a shoulder surgery, his knuckles looked a little bit bruised. And I don't think your knuckles would bruise from shoulder surgery, would they?
I don't know. Maybe a little bit of cosmetic surgery. It's possible he had the brass removed.
And somebody else got a hold of it. And,
from some of his prior work, maybe.
I don't know, but kind of interesting. And again, ladies and gentlemen, the timing of everything is just interesting.
Yeah, boy, just, you know, looking a little beaten up before his public testimony. Boy, that could garner some possible sympathy, maybe?
I don't know. I mean, he does look beaten up, and it did look like, you know, his arm was in a sling. And so, you know, whether he had real surgery or he got into a fist fight with somebody, who knows? But just kind of interesting, the timing and everything.
Maybe that was the reason for the shoulder surgery.
Maybe.
Oh, my word.
So, anyway, let's talk about Cyprus.
Greece. Well, there's further geopolitical turmoil in Europe. You know, Theresa May surviving her confidence vote. Well, Greece's PM, Alex Tsipras, survived the late-night confidence vote the other day after a couple of days of really contentious debate. It ended with Greek lawmakers delivering him a razor-thin victory, 151 to 148, to hold his government together. You know, boy, it took lawmakers from the former coalition party, the Independent Greeks, as well as independent legislators, to keep him in power for now. You know, in a speech to Parliament, Tsipras had appealed for lawmakers' support so that the government could work for, quote, the country's liberation from foreign coercion, economic frailty, and the dominance of the corrupt elite.
Speaking of the corrupt elite, Italy's Berlusconi, Silvio Berlusconi. He had a long goodbye, but it really wasn't a goodbye. The Italian businessman that turned a three-time prime minister, he's going to run in May's election for the European Parliament.
Woohoo!
Berlusconi's short pitch to Italians included a call to throw out of the country's populist government and defend Europe's Christian roots. And, of course, he's been fading from their political landscape over there in Italy for the past 5 years. And he's in that five-year period included a conviction for tax fraud, sex scandals, heart surgery that to fix a near-fatal condition. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see what those Italians do over there. But the Italian political parties are using the impending EU election just to test their strength. I think Italy has enough problems. I don't think, you know.
Well, you raised, I think that's the point. Are the Italian people up for a return of this very controversial, provocative figure? You know, obviously he had a very strong and loyal following when he was in power. Apparently, you know, just out of sight, out of mind. However, you know, because of the strength of that popularity before he was brought down by these corruption charges, it could be interesting you know, to see, you know, the party elites aside, how the grassroots feel. You know, do they want someone of, you know, his background representing them in a growing, more fractious European Union, or do they just want him to stay retired and, you know, move on? I don't know. Like you said, Melody, time will tell.
It just goes to show how volatile. And, you know, I referenced many times the ant hill being stirred up and everybody's just going around crazy. There isn't anything that makes a lot of sense. You know, everything is just doesn't make a lot of sense, and it has no reaction. You know, the things that are done, there's no reaction to anything. And it's just bizarre. It's just I don't know.
It is bizarre. You know, what I found, I didn't find interesting, I found amusing in the midst of what I'm sure will become a serious debate in that country, is that as part of his rolling out of his, I guess, campaign, you know, he's known as a showman. In his 20s, he worked as a singer on cruise ships. Well, he's pledged free pets for poor seniors with biweekly veterinary care and pet food included. Now, there's a promise that I'm not sure how he'll keep it, but that's an interesting. See, the dogs. The dogs are. they love the idea, Melody.
Well, maybe they'll have a corrupt voting, and they'll get pets to where they can actually go in and vote. Dogs can vote. Oh, Senior Ruby, Senorita Ruby, go right in there and place your vote, please. Oh, crazy world. Let's talk about something a little more crazy. Central banks. Again, they're looking about the next recession, Dave.
Oh my gosh, you know, they might have trouble fighting the next recession, that is, which is on their horizon and rapidly approaching, say, many, many factors that we talked about earlier this week. You know, interest rates in developed countries remain incredibly low. In some places, they're even negative. The Fed's unloading some of the bonds it bought, but, you know, central banks in Europe and Japan haven't done so yet. The question now is whether central banks have waited too long to raise rates to more, quote, normal levels, leaving them unprepared for the next crisis, which is when they typically lower rates. Politics also making life more complicated. You know, you have India, Turkey, you know, facing threats of political interference. Here, our president and the Fed have not been getting along. The outlook for global economy has dimmed significantly in recent months. You know, trade tensions caused growth to slow in China and Germany, for example, and some of the other geopolitical turmoil we just talked about. Melody.
And it seems like everywhere, and, you know, I don't put a lot of faith in their reports and so forth, but you do have to pay attention. And you have to pay attention. It doesn't have to be exactly what they're saying, but it shows that they don't believe that growth in 2019 is going to be as strong as what everyone was promising in 2018. Both the IMF, the World Bank, they've cut forecasts. Experts are warning more pain from the U.S. interest rate hikes. Trade conflicts still remain to be, I mean, NAFTA, everybody talks about NAFTA. I don't think that's still in play. You don't hear anybody talking about the finalization of that. So, and it's weird because you'd think they would bring that in along with the government shutdown. It just doesn't make sense. But anyway, who am I to say what makes sense and not? But we have the geopolitical risks. Excuse me, coming in with Brexit. So no one expected a synchronized global growth to continue forever. But actions taken by these central banks over the past 10 years is going to limit their response and face right now a very sharp slowdown in 2019, Dave.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, I just point to, you know, the U.S., the Fed's balance sheet. I mean, started peaked, I guess, at $4.5 trillion October of last year before they started unloading roughly $50 billion a month, still holds about $4 trillion in treasuries. You know, the Europe only ended its QE program in December after creating about 2.6 trillion euros, $3 trillion in new money. Bank of Japan, they've reached the equivalent of 5.1 trillion. Crazy. Those assets are worth more than the country's entire annual economic output. Simply put, the central banking system is running out of ammo. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? The recession is going to be here sooner than we thought.
And the same with our program. The end is here sooner than we thought. Have a great weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Dave, I'll talk to you on Monday. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. Got me a wealthy man.